Hey everyone, welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back. Hope you're well.
We hope you're well. We are back with part two. It's the first time we're doing a part one and two series, basically just because we couldn't fit everything we wanted to say in part one.
Basically because we couldn't stop talking.
Exactly, which is just like us. And so we will continue to talk about Erik Erikson's theory on development. So if you have not listened to the first part, then please go back and do that first, because I think it will just make way more sense. And we will not explain the theory, I think, again in like detail.
Yeah, and I think also, especially with Erikson, you really need to kind of complete one stage to reach the next. And I think these two stages are super important to know, like, what the one before is.
Exactly. And so last week we talked about the stage of adolescence, so age 12 to 18, and we talked about Erikson's theory of this time that the main conflict is the conflict of identity versus role confusion. And I think it's exciting because already last week we said that it's cool to talk about these developmental stages that happened relatively recently because you can actually remember. And so this week we're talking about young adulthood, which Erikson says is age 19 to 40, which I appreciate. And so this is obviously the stage that we, and most likely also you when you listen to this, are in.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to say, before we even say what it is, so we're in this phase, it ends at 40, right? Yeah, 40 years old. I want to say with a strong emphasis, Carla and I have not successfully completed this phase.
Which is also good because we have like 15 more years.
Yeah.
Even more. Or no, wait, less. What am I talking about? Less. But yeah, we're still good. So it's true. It's not the aim of this episode to make you stressed out when you hear this.
So this phase is all about forming intimate, loving relationships with other people.
Yes. Erikson says that the main conflict in this age, in this stage, I guess, is intimacy versus isolation. And again, it's really important to understand the developmental stage of adolescence before, and there it's about identity, because he talks about adolescence, you find your identity, so to say, ideally. And then in this stage of young adulthood, you have this very newly found identity and you feel relatively, like ideally, you feel confident and strong. And now, because you have this sense of identity, now you have to wish to merge identity with another person. So you're ready for this merging experience and you're ready for like intimacy and a mature relationship, the willingness to also sacrifice certain things, to compromise, etc., which before you don't really have, which I think we all can agree with, that when you look back at like your first boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, you know, it's obviously very, well, not mature.
Yeah, so it's interesting when you think about the word intimacy, because you automatically, like, at least with me, my mind goes to, like, sex. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also really important to know that that is not what he means by intimacy. Mm-hmm. So Erikson, when he talks about intimacy, he's talking about, like, the ability, basically, to be vulnerable and honest and empathetic with another person. And it's the ability to connect with another person on a deep level. Because when you think about intimacy in a sexual way or like in a physical way, you probably would assume like, oh yeah, I got that stage covered, I'm good.
Yeah,
I figured that out. But I think the real point is to have a like a very, very meaningful relationship with one other person. And The part that really like makes me realize that I have not gotten there is there's like a few points that should be a part of this intimate relationship. They're like, yeah, I said vulnerability, honesty, empathy, but then there comes like prioritizing each other's needs. I'm sorry. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a relationship where you both prioritize each other's needs? Like in an equal, healthy way?
Well, I want to say yes, but it was very short-lived. It was not, over like 9 years. So
Yeah.
no. I
It's
don't know if a few
crazy. It's
months
like
count, but
it sounds so simple, but I think
yeah.
that's the point
Yeah.
where you really get stuck.
True. Very true. Yeah, I think that's also what I meant before when it's I read also that he yeah, it's a certain willingness to also sacrifice, things of your own ego for the other person to prioritize them. I think it's interesting he says that in this stage it's all about that this newly formed identity and therefore your ego strength is tested in this phase, because it's almost you step out of this bubble of adolescence and just, yeah, not having really found a stable identity yet, and you kind of enter real life, and there's all these problems that all of a sudden come at you. And this is also the other end of the conflict, because the conflict is intimacy, which we just talked about, and there's isolation. And this is the other end of it, because he says that your ego strength is basically constantly tested, and you really cannot fear the loss of your identity or the loss of your ego. Because what happens then, if you're consumed by this anxiety, which is of course also unconscious, then you kind of start dodging life in many ways, which will eventually lead to the person feeling very isolated and like losing their environment and important relationships, etc. This is like the intimacy versus isolation part.
Yeah, I think it's crazy when we hear all these kind of advice statements that sound very like bullshit. But now when I kind of think about Erikson stages, when I think about this fact that you need to have a solid identity before you even attempt at like connecting it with another one, it makes all those statements that really bother me make a little bit more sense. You know, when people say, like, you need to love yourself before you can
Yeah,
love
you need to
somebody else.
find
And
yourself first.
yeah. And like, I just really don't like the way that they're put, but like, there is a point to it. But the thing that I think bothers me a little bit is like the oversimplification of once you have a solid identity, you're able to kind of find intimacy or find that, because I don't think that that's necessarily like, yes, it's like a precursor and it's something that you need to kind of master in order to move on to the next stage, but it definitely doesn't guarantee that you will find that.
Yeah, and also again, I think it sounds, as you say, it sounds oversimplified, and also it sounds so weird. It almost sounds like one day in your adolescent life, you wake up and you're like, now I have found my identity. Now I can move on to the next step. I think we all know that no matter how old you are, I think you very often still have thoughts of like, is this who I am? Is this a part of me? Etc. There's always going to be aspects to you, your personality, that question your identity, or also that your identity changes to a certain extent. Maybe not that other people notice it, but you notice it. But what you said before, it makes a lot of sense to me, and I agree that knowing this makes a lot of sense and kind of explains all these super corny quotes, etc. There is something to it. And I also thought that way back when Freud started doing analysis, he said, which is not applicable anymore today, let me just point that out, this is not what analysts believe anymore, or I mean, unless they're super classically oriented, but Freud basically forbid his patients to make any big life decisions while they are in analysis. Like, they were not supposed to, I don't know, get married, have kids, do something major. And many classically oriented analysts maybe still believe that to a certain extent. But of course, now we know that your therapy influences your life and your life influences your therapy, and therapy just shouldn't take up that much space, I personally think, in life. But mm-hmm. I also there understand, I get it, you know what I mean? Because also when you go to analysis, to classical analysis, 3, 4, 5 times a week, there is so much movement happening also in your, in you, in your personality, in your identity in that sense. So many, many things can change, and wanting the person who goes through that to stop them from making any rash decisions does make sense. However, I think, of course, in it's not applicable anymore to that extent, because you cannot expect someone to go to analysis for 4 years and their life should be on hold.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's funny. Our therapist still tries to kind of hold himself to that.
Yeah.
And I think I do agree with it on some level, like you said, but I think it's just maybe not so realistic in this day and age.
Exactly.
But I do think it's definitely important to question what decisions you're making or want to make while you're in analysis, especially if they're big decisions. But I think the part that I think is really the reason why this was a rule or can be a rule is because if you think about your identity and you think about what happens in analysis, it's like you go through so much regression. And it's like, it's almost scary to think that you could make a huge decision like in a regressive state.
Yeah, true.
It's like almost horrifying to think that you like that a way less developed version of yourself might be like deciding what's going to happen for the rest of your life. Like the 5-year-old you is like, you know what?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think regression is something that's definitely dangerous when it comes to being in analysis, and definitely something to be aware of when it's happening. But back to the intimacy thing, I think it kind of has to do with what like I was thinking this week, as well as you know, like enjoying things mm-hmm. and being more in the moment. I think this is a little bit hard for that, because the way that Erickson describes this achievement of intimacy is not really talking about solitary moments of enjoyment. It's talking about, like, I know that it specifically mentions also finding a person that you commit to. And
shit, Lolo, finding, we got like 15 more years.
Yeah, like finding a person that you can commit to. Mm. It's like very, very obvious that Erickson is describing like a typical monogamous, also heterosexual, like just a very
conservative
relationship. And I think that's a little bit intimidating too, because sometimes I think like maybe that's just not going to be in my future. And maybe it's what I think that I want. And of course I want because that's what everybody else has and they seem happy. But it's also scary to think that it might be up to me to, like, kind of hypothetically speaking, it might be up to me to complete this phase, but in my own way.
Yeah, true. I understand what you mean. I think that's very interesting. And I wonder if Erickson was still alive, how he would kind of, you know, interpret it nowadays. Also, while there are just so many more different styles of relationships that are common these days, you know, as opposed to back then. But also I wonder whether we, in a modern, more contemporary psychoanalytic sense, we could interpret it differently and make it even broader and say, yes, Erickson probably meant the very conservative, classical sort of intimacy you have with a partner. But I was just thinking, it also expands to friendships and any sort of relationships you have. I think for me, when I hear this, in this age, it's just about what you said before, being able to be so confident and in your identity, in who you are, that you don't need to lie anymore to other people, and that therefore you also have very authentic and genuine friendships, for example, mm-hmm. and just are able to step into any sort of relationship, not with the need to pretend to be anyone else or whatever, because of this fear of isolation unconsciously, but to be able to, yeah, be willing to risk also a fear of the rejection or whatever, and therefore gain intimacy with friends. Because I also think, of course, your quality of your friendships also change over years. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And I
think if you think about it that way, the age from 19 to 40, if you're at the end of this stage and you kind of haven't mastered the sense of identity and you still are very immature in the sense of having friends or any sort of relationships that are not really real, that is mm-hmm. concerning.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we talk about isolation, which is like basically if you end up in this, like if you reach the end of this phase in failure, it means that you will live in isolation. But when we talk about isolation, like it doesn't have to be in a romantic sense. You could also just be isolated in a sense that you don't have like a support group, or you don't have people that understand you.
Yeah.
And I think it's much more helpful to think of it in that way, just like the nature of your relationships in general. But something that really pissed me off was I read this quote. I'm going to read it now. And it was so funny. I read it and automatically, like in my head, I was like, God damn it. So this guy, I don't know who he is. Richmond.
Who?
Richmond.
Wait, is this some random dude or like an influencer or what?
Some like,
oh, it's like a famous psychologist quote or what? Okay, okay, gotcha. I thought it was like some random guy you met in a bar. It was Richmond. Okay.
So he says, there's no intimacy without connection. And if we're too in shame, too in self-doubt, or too much in insecurity, we can't connect. And I was just like, fuck, those are all things that I'm still trying to figure out. I don't know if I'll ever totally figure them out.
Yeah, well, again, I think I understand what you mean. And I think to a certain extent, you will be able to figure these things out by yourself. But then also, there is a part that we also learn from each other. You know what I mean? I don't think you can say, oh, once I have these points, I cross off my list and I've mastered my feelings of shame or whatever, then I'm ready. No, you will never be 100% ready. But then you will meet someone and you will learn it together. You know what I mean? You will be able to still step into the intimacy, and the process is not over. It continues also in the relationship. Ideally, I think, listen, not that I know, but that's how it, you know what I mean? It's not, we don't exist only on an individual level. We're always also develop in relation to each other.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking about this even more. I'm not so crazy about this stage.
Well,
like I really
that
think,
you have like 14 more years. Get
no,
used
but
to
I really think this is the one stage that he could have done a little bit better in. I really, really think the other stages are so well thought out and like so important. But this one, I just thought to myself, like, what if people don't fucking like you? Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a little bit flawed.
I kind of think back of what you said earlier, that it's a bit oversimplified.
Yeah. Also, it's like, sure, you can have a very strong identity. You can love who you are. Like, you can be really happy with who you are.
Yeah.
That does not mean that other people are going to like it. But I guess it's assumed that there should be someone out there who would appreciate it. I don't know. It's a little bit...
Yeah, I'm a bit confused now, to be honest, if I think about it. Because also the quote that you read before, I agree. It's when I hear these things, I also think like, fuck, I haven't like mastered my shame or my guilt or my whatever. But this doesn't mean that I'm not capable of, you know what I mean, having any sort of intimate relationships. whether it be with someone romantically or with friends or something. I don't know. Is it really necessary to master these things first? I do believe that you need to have a certain feeling, again, of identity, of self-confidence, etc. But is it really necessary to master this first? Because doesn't also a part of you develop with those other people?
Exactly. Like, shouldn't you also grow with your partner?
Yeah.
In some way?
What do you guys think? Let us know.
But I also found... Sorry, I have to find this because I did find one thing that made it make more sense.
Okay.
Where I was like, okay, I understand that.
It just sounds so harsh. You know, intimacy? Yeah. Okay, intimacy is one thing, but on the other side, it's isolation. That sounds so harsh. I don't know.
Yeah, and like in this thing that I read about it, you know what really made me depressed? It's like, okay, intimacy, yes, great, wonderful. If you achieve this, you can move through your life smoothly. If you don't, you will become isolated. And you know what? Loneliness is associated with 30% increased risk of premature death. I was like, cool, great.
Yeah, it's a bit, it has this very pressuring thing to it, this stage. It's like, if you haven't mastered these things by the age of 40, you're going to be lonely and you're going to die, you know?
Here we go. So I think this is a way better description of this stage. Mm-hmm. Intimacy is all about feeling seen, feeling understood, and not feeling like you have to sacrifice a piece of yourself to be loved. That makes way more sense to me.
Yeah, but this is not the term intimacy as we know it in colloquial language. As you said before, we always associate with intimacy very often something physical, firsthand, and then it's always related to love or sex or whatever. And this is a very different description of it, and I like it.
Yeah, I think that is more of like an achievable goal to have and something that you can actually work on. And it doesn't involve other people. That's like the most the most helpful part of that. It's like, it does involve other people in the sense that like you need to be around somebody else to feel seen. But but like it doesn't have to be your husband.
Yeah, and also... this brings me to another point that I just thought about. It's oh my God, the more we talk about this, the more I'm on your side. I'm like, wait, actually this stage is like, it's not the best. No, but I was just thinking that sometimes I personally have the feeling, or it's also a topic in my therapy, that I do think that I struggle with intimacy, that I do sometimes really struggle with letting people close. And I'm talking emotionally mostly. And the problem is, very often, then you get caught up and you think it's your fault. It's only your fault. You know, something has gone wrong in your development, or I don't know, what is going on within me. And yes, of course, to a certain extent, it is stuff that is going on within me. But also, maybe I just haven't found someone who's worth it being intimate with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't found someone where I can be intimate because I really want to be with them.
That is true. That is true. We're like the
worst
people.
There's nothing wrong with me.
We're also like the worst people to be having this conversation because we're just like, could be. I don't know.
Yes. Well, but it's interesting because when I did the research for this episode on this stage, I really was like, yes. Oh my God, this makes so much sense. But now that we talk about it more, it's good to also get a certain feedback and to kind of rethink it and be like, wait, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's also a resistance. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be a resistance. But, you know, it's very interesting for me because I'm also thinking, like, isn't it so important during this stage, like 19 to 40, to, like, do something meaningful that you love? You know, like, what about...
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like... that's kind of missing here. It should not be all about your relationships.
I agree. And you know what the fucked up thing is? That the next stage in Erikson's development from 40 to 65 is where the important events are work and parenthood. Why is work not in this stage?
Yeah.
What about that? Why is this stage only about intimacy or isolation? You know, what about work? What about work? What about studies? What about passions? I don't know.
It is weird. I'm so confused. Because like 40 is a little late to get in the game of a career.
Yeah. But also, I mean, of course, as always, when you hear these theories, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Because yeah. I have it in front of me. And also the last stage in his developmental theory is from 65 to death. And it's coined by reflection on life. Yeah. Now, does this mean people who are 65, like our therapist is way over 65, I'd say, or at least a bit over 65. He shouldn't be working. He should just be reflecting on life.
No, but actually, you know what I mean? It's very no, it is. It is a really good point, because the way that he talks about that is very different. And I feel like he really, like, he already completed this phase. Because it's really... It's actually super interesting, because I've talked to him about this many times where I tell him that I'm really terrified of getting old. And then he's like, hello, I'm actually old. And then like, I remember talking to him about this like a lot. And I was just like, aren't you scared? Doesn't it make you anxious? The fact that you're running out of time? And it's really strange that he always said, if I die tomorrow, I really wouldn't mind. I'm really happy with the life that I've lived so far. And I think that, like, he fucking succeeded in that stage.
That's true, he did. But I think many people don't. And many people maybe only, only get the chance to do things they really enjoy doing when they're retired, or then they, you know, start living this completely new life and, I don't know, reshape everything in their lives. And that's a bit also simplified to say that this stage is only reflecting on life. But I guess, again, everything we talk is like really simplified. So it's not like these stages are so concrete. It's all like it's just a theory. It's just a theory.
I guess it is the most important part of that stage of your life, even though it's not the only. I guess it is true that you really need to figure out how you relate to others during that time to, like, have a successful life after 40.
You know what I'm also thinking about is when you, in any book or movie or whatever, also in just real life, you know how people always say that at the end of the day, when you die, you don't think about what you did in your life or didn't do, or it's mostly you think about the relationships you've had with people and who you really care about and who are the important people in your life. And that's always going to be the main thing that you think back on. So mm-hmm. in that sense, this stage is really vital, as you say, to just step into intimate relationships, but intimate in that different way, not necessarily physical or romantic or sexual or whatever, but just in a more authentic, genuine, caring way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like very confused.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading something else now, which also makes more sense, but it actually doesn't really, like, I feel like people really took this stage with a grain of salt, because this other doctor lady, she says that during this stage we determine our preferences and norms, which will influence the dynamics of all of our relationships. So basically, she's not saying that you need to reach this intimacy that Erikson talks about. She's saying that you need to decide the level of intimacy that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, some of us will desire deep intimacy, while others will feel more comfortable with greater emotional distance in relationships.
Mm, interesting.
So maybe it's not so much about achieving this intimacy that he describes as like a deep connection and all this stuff. It's more deciding what kind of intimacy you want in your life.
Yeah, for which you also need to establish a certain sense of identity first. Because for that, you first need to kind of know what you wish, who you are, what is important to you, etc. But it's true, it's very easy to assume that we're all the same and we all need the same sort of intimacy, but it's not true.
Definitely, especially when we think about like we did a whole episode on attachment styles. I think that seriously influences what kind of intimacy you need, and it's okay if you if we need different types.
Very true.
I think it's also important not to force yourself to like make it work for you if it doesn't. Imagine it's like if I were to be with somebody who like constantly wants to hold hands, I would be like I would be tortured.
And if it's as if I were with someone who's just overly symbiotic, and where you know these couples that only exist in a couple, and
Yes.
that fucking freaks me out. I know there are people out there and they love that and they need that, but for me, I am always like, okay, I'm also my own person and I need to have my own life, you know what I mean? That would fucking freak me out.
Exactly. So you shouldn't reach for this goal in the way that it's described if it really doesn't feel good.
That makes sense. Okay, I guess many points that do make sense to us that I do find very interesting and applicable to this stage of life, but also, yeah, a bit oversimplified and a bit just also old. I mean, all these theories are quite old, and I always
Right.
think it would be so interesting to, yeah, interpret them in a new way, which I'm sure people have done, but also to speak to this person like Eric Erickson and like ask him, what did you mean exactly by that, and how would you apply it to today?
I wonder if he thinks he completed these stages successfully.
He's like, I'm the master. I've done it all. Good
Sorry,
question.
I said he thinks like he's still alive. Why am I talking about him like he's one of our friends?
Wish fulfillment. Also, may I
Eric.
just point out, completely random note, what a great name,
I
Eric
know.
Erickson. Are you kidding me?
It's so
Imagine
good.
my name was Carla Carlson.
Oh my God, imagine if I was Lola Lolson.
Will be great. This was a really interesting topic, nevertheless. And please, guys, when you listen to this, let us know what you think of this whole thing. If it makes sense to you, if you can apply to your life and what you've experienced, or if you're like, this is complete bullshit and I just disagree, please
Oh
let
my
us
God,
know.
I just had an aha moment. Oh my God, I just blew myself away.
Okay.
Listen. Listen. Obviously, we're having a hard time talking about this stage because we're in it. Obviously, we can't really say anything about this because we haven't figured it
We
out.
haven't mastered it. And we're
I
actually.
think that's why it was so easy to talk about the last one.
It's true. We're just also still at like the relatively in the beginning.
Yeah, damn.
Damn. Well,
We gotta get back to you in a few years.
yeah, we shall revisit this this
Oh my God,
topic.
we'll still be recording. Imagine, like, hi guys, welcome back to episode 6762.
We are back revisiting Eric Erickson's developmental
Thanks
stages.
for listening. Thanks for
Oh
tuning in.
my God, this is so funny. Yeah.
We should continue it. Oh my God, imagine if we continued the podcast for the rest of our lives. They would have some great material for the funeral.
Oh
Would be like, you know.
wait, do you assume we will be buried together? For our funeral? I'm flattered. Thank you. Thank
Oh
you.
God. Here lies Carla and Lola still in the intimacy versus isolation phase, never
Still a
really got
mess.
through it.
And then it says in brackets how many analysis hours we did. You know, it's like Carla bracket, I don't know, 7,000. Lola brackets, few couple of thousands. Well, funny. Guys, thank you so much for listening again. Let us know what topics you want to hear in the future. Please, 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 as always.
Yeah, hit us up. with some ideas.
And tune in next week.
Thank you.
Bye.